Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. We believe that through the power of love, everything is possible with love on your side. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have Terrell Jackson.
What's up, everyone?
How you doing, Terrell?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. And I have Taj Jackson.
Hello.
Why are you so cheery today, Taj?
I'm pretending. I'm tired.
All good, Taj. All good. How you guys doing? Today is what? June 7th, 2017.
Yep.
Are you guys feeling like me where the year is just flying? No.
Yeah.
The year's going slow
been,
for you guys?
It's pretty fast.
It depends. If you're looking at it as you wanted to do something by a certain time, then it's flying. But if you look at...
Is that not you?
Yeah, it is in that way. But then there's other things that it's going by really slow.
Really?
Don't want to get political, but it seems like it's going slow.
Okay, I got you.
Gotcha?
I got you. Yeah, what about you, Terrell?
It seems like it's fine.
It's crazy. We're already in our sixth month.
Halfway there.
We are live on the Power of Love radio show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will open up the phone lines to talk, to discuss what our topic at hand is. And if you have any comments, please feel free to share them. Our show is built around having a community contribute to the show. So anything, any feedback, any advice, any contribution you have would be greatly appreciated. The phone number to call in is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. Now, you're not going to do this disclaimer, so I will do it. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions, hopefully in an attempt to help you overcome what you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Don't just rely on us. Taj, do you want to give any social media handle?
Of course. Twitter, it's at DDJ Foundation. That's the letters DDJ and then Foundation. Facebook, it's DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. And Instagram, it's at DEEDEE Jackson Foundation.
Wonderful. Taj, we'll start with you since you were just speaking. How was your week?
It was good. Still painting, still doing all that, which is fun, the backdrop stuff. I'll post some pictures.
Yeah, where's the pictures? What are you painting?
I'm painting a photography backdrop.
Okay, yeah,
I'm trying to save some money here because
it's expensive, right?
Well, the really good ones can be about $1,000, but you can make them, with paint and all that for under $100.
Okay, so you're being economical.
Yes,
it's like we discussed last week. It's also been enjoyable for you.
Yeah, it's therapeutic. I like learning, so learning about painting and learning about blending and all that stuff, it helps my Photoshop stuff too.
Do you guys find that as you get older you get more hands-on, home improvement type?
More like Papa T?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess more like a father,
like Pops,
because right,
yeah, I've done some wood floors.
You did wood floors?
Well, the ones that you can hammer
laminate
in. Yeah. The plaque ones, the ones
laminate.
That, yeah,
I don't know.
Did that for my photo studio with Tyana, so it was good.
Good.
A lot of do-it-yourself stuff.
Good for you,
been
Taj.
At Home Depot more than I can say.
Good.
I want to say.
Nice, Terrell.
We lost.
You lost a tough one too.
We lost two games.
They're out.
Oh, you lost two.
Yeah, we're out. We got a game tomorrow. It's last game of the season. Doesn't matter. Over it. Whatever.
For your baseball team. So now that it's all over, the pressure's probably off. You can just enjoy it as much as you can and try to finish it.
I
want to
win this last one.
Why?
Is it?
Because I need to end on a good note. Just need to end on a good note so I can smile and look at this team and smile and not be frustrated.
No, enjoy your team, man. Enjoy the time. Enjoy the
well, basically, we're 0-2. The team that we're playing is 0-2 in the playoffs. So it's either we're going to end up being bad. It's like the battle of who's worse.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough. All right. All right.
What can you do?
My week, it was uneventful. Yeah, well, nothing really. I don't know.
You guys saw Wonder Woman.
We saw Wonder Woman. Yeah.
How was that?
I loved it.
Did you fall asleep again?
Oh, okay, I'll explain how it was. I really loved it.
You loved it or you liked it?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think just because, I was rooting for it.
Mm-hmm. Female director.
Female star. And this movie has had it start and stops probably for about 15 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've... Because, you know, Hollywood does the numbers and they're like, oh, movies with female stars or movies directed by females don't open or can't make this much money.
Yeah.
And this movie proved them wrong. So I really like it.
So it's doing really well.
It's breaking expectations, which is doing Beautiful. Really well. And the thing is that it's a really good movie, too. Like, I'm just happy for it. I'm really happy for it. And, you know.
And it's funny because.
Give Marvel some competition, too.
Give who?
Marvel.
Yeah. Is it probably one of the better received DC movies?
I think it's I don't know where it is on Rotten Tomatoes now, but it's high 90s.
How about box office wise?
Yeah, box office.
But they had other characters in it, right? Like
Not really.
No, this is an origin story, like Iron Man was or Captain America was.
You know what I'm happy about is we get to really celebrate the female character.
Yeah.
And
give a father of
daughters, they get to see a female be the superhero and be the hero. And obviously for me, I don't really know what that's not like. Did I say that right? I don't know what that's like being a male. I always saw male superheroes and male saving the day. So as a young female, I'm happy there's a female protagonist that is the studette. You know, and it's also good for young men to see so that we don't start thinking women can't do things. You know, let female in the man's eye, in the kid's eye, in the boy's eye, have some clout, have some strength, and I love it.
Well, the funny thing is, and I don't want to get too nerdy, but in the comic books, Wonder Woman is one of the strongest characters in the universe.
Mm.
Like, even, you know, she can go head-to-head with Superman.
Yeah, I saw about three-fourths of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have questions. I love movies and I like superhero movies.
So what quarter
movies.
Of it did you like miss
Probably
out?
Probably the end.
It's the ending.
The ending.
So it's not like you fall asleep in the middle and
I know,
wake up and catch the ending?
Sometimes I do that, but this one I didn't do that. I don't remember the ending at all. At all.
I used to do that so in concerts.
It just didn't keep your attention then?
No, you can't think of it like that for me.
Well, you just go to sleep.
I fell asleep in so many incredible movies where I'm trying my hardest. I'm walking around. I'm in the hallways.
I don't know.
I'm doing jumping jacks. I've tried. So, I don't know. But I want to see it again. And everyone, you know, everyone loved it.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
It's cool. All right. So, on the way in, I was not on my way in. Before I come in, I Google some words and see what comes up. And I was thinking that there's this one article, and on the way in, I felt we should just at least kind of cover it, considering where our show is based on loss and grief, and the focus is on loss and grief. And I don't think we've really tackled this perspective or this side of grief. And there was several articles I pulled up, like I said, new articles, the ones that were just released. And there is one from prevention.com that I wanted to discuss with you guys. The title of it is called Four Signs You Should Get Help for Your Grief by Dina Gotchman. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. But basically, it's pretty much, as the title says, it's four things that, you know, that I guess we should be looking out for to see if we are experiencing grief or others around us. And I'm going to read these four. I'm going to try to do a Cliffin Notes version. And I want you guys to comment on anything. Or if you have any fifth, sixth sign. And that goes for you too, listeners. If you guys have anything else to contribute, what else you're seeing, please let us know.
Did we give out the number?
Yes. The phone number, again, is 323-203-0815. And, again, we'll post this on social media. So you can – I wish you had it like that where you could just, you know – just do it. Where I mean, like, you are I know you're technically skilled. I just don't know if you're technically prepared.
Nope.
To just forward the link so people can read along. But hey, you know,
hey, you get what you pay for. I, here.
Work what you got. Working for free.
My co-host isn't really up to par like he should be. So I apologize, but I'm working on him. Please rest assured, I'm working on him. All right, guys. So the four signs you should get help for your grief. Number one, sign number one, your daily life has become a chore. When you experience a major loss, no one expects you to feel or act perfectly normal. But working through grief takes time, as we know, and the process itself is important. The key, however, is to keep moving forward. If you lost a loved one weeks or months ago, yet everyday tasks like doing the laundry or taking a shower still feel like insurmountable challenges, it's time to seek help. Mm-hmm. You guys have anything, any comment on that?
No. That seems self-explanatory.
Yeah? Okay. Moving right along, sign number two, you're relying on alcohol, drugs, or sex to cope. After the death of someone close, a griever's world turns upside down and can be overwhelming physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. While it's not unusual to turn to some less than healthy habits to ease the pain, there can come a point when those temporary crutches turn dangerous. If you find that you're often seeking destructive activities to numb the grief you are experiencing, then that's a problem. An expert can help you figure out ways to cope that are healthier, both physically and emotionally. If you don't want to go to counseling, at least consider joining a support group. Being with others who are experiencing similar feelings can provide comfort. I think that's very self-explanatory as well. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I think we've done a really good job at here on this radio station, on the podcast, discussing is that you need to stay connected and find, in a way, people that are going through what you're going through. It really helps with your grieving, helps you overcome things, and it lets you know you're not alone. You're not isolated. It's just not you who's going through things. You know, I don't know the stats, but I'm sure everyone is going through everything. There's someone in the world going through pretty much everything every minute. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that any shocking thing that you're going through, someone out there is going through it. And in the time of social media and the internet, we can find, you know, remedies for it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, support groups. Any comment on that one? You're relying on alcohol, drugs, or sex to cope?
No, I think it's just a self-destructive nature in terms of where you feel like, not that you're just like, well, screw it, you know, kind of attitude. And, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. When I saw this the first time, I thought about they're very similar to, depression. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure there's a strong link between depression and mm-hmm. dealing with grief. It's probably very similar, or it is very similar. But it's similar things. And the point I'm trying to make is sometimes I think people can cast you as just being depressed or suffering with depression, but maybe you're suffering from grief. But I'm sure suffering grief is a part of depression. All right, Terrell, did you have anything for that one?
No, it sounded like eventually if you don't face what you're dealing with, it's going to catch up to you.
Yeah.
So all those other things, it's like numbing, you know, you can numb it. Exactly. And eventually it's going to be okay for a little bit, but eventually it's going to hurt you in the long run.
Four signs you should get help for your grief. Number one, number one, daily life has become a chore. Sign number two, you're relying on alcohol, drugs, or sex to cope. Sign number three, your feelings of guilt are relentless. Maybe you think you should have been able to prevent your loved one's death or wish you had said or did something before he or she passed. Survivor's remorse is pretty common, but it shouldn't be crippling. Guilty feelings tend to diminish over time, but some people have a hard time letting go. They fear that if they get over the loss, they will forget the person. That's something I haven't really experienced. I don't know if it's due to my age or my memory. I don't know, but I've never felt with guilt upon a loss. And I definitely haven't felt like if I stopped feeling guilt or stopped, you know, I would forget that person. Like, have either of you guys ever felt AA guilty of anything, whether it's a loss of loved one or anything of that down that road, but also that is it because of a fear that if you forget about that person or don't feel guilt that you will forget about the person?
I think they're going more for I could have done something guilt.
Okay.
And there is, for me, I've had that guilt, you know, with both Mom and Uncle Michael in terms of what if I was there for, you know, more often with Uncle Michael in terms of the latter part.
Mm-hmm.
Would that have made a difference? And then with Mom, you know, if I would have known the warning signs of her mm-hmm. with her, would that have helped? But
I assume, Taj, that gets easier over time.
It does, because then you realize that just things happen the way they happen, kind okay. of in a way. And but when you think about it still.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, you can't beat yourself up for it yeah. as well.
But did you ever feel that if you got over that, or got over that you'll forget the person?
No.
No, right? I don't understand that either, but that's...
No, that you had to carry that guilt?
Yeah, in order to...
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Cheryl, you got anything?
No, I think Taj, you said this a while ago. I think it goes back to what they're trying to say is that if you move forward, it's almost like in a sense of... Like you the example you used, Taj, was going to the movies and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you're not grieving or you don't care about the person that's been lost. You know, I think they're saying that.
Yeah. Well, whenever someone close to me passes or whatever, or some, I feel like I feel like you'd want people to be happy and you'd want people mm-hmm. to laugh and people to smile and stuff like that. So I look at it that way. And I try and say this person, knowing this person would want you to be happy, would want you to smile, would want you to go to a movie and laugh. You know, they wouldn't want you grieving like that.
I think the challenging thing is there's no set rule book. There's no guideline on how you're supposed to behave or to act or how to feel when you lose somebody. So some people can view you as selfish or weak or however. You know, but every situation's different. You know, it's like we talked about before. Some people, if for us, we're artists, if something bad happened, you know, do you cancel the show or do you do the show in honor of them? And same with sports. Do you play? Do you not play? So work, you know, do you go to work? Do you not go to work? There's different outcomes for it all. And there's no set rule book on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you... This is to add on to your feelings of guilt. If you can't stop beating yourself up, a professional may be able to help. Psychotherapist Laura Harris, she says that when a client is ready, she asks them to bring in a photo of the deceased. Sometimes they create an altar so that the deceased has a presence in the conversation. And she goes on to say, sometimes it can be useful to write a letter to the deceased as a way to say goodbye. Again, that's not something I've ever had to deal with, but I'm just relaying what has been said by psychotherapists mm-hmm. to help you if you are dealing with that.
Interesting.
Right? Cool. Sign number 4, you're thinking about harming yourself or someone else. Mm-hmm. Again, this is one that I haven't had to deal with or experience, but it's sign number 4 of the 4 signs you should get help for your grief. While grief isn't the same thing as a major depression, it can trigger or exacerbate depression in some people. And sometimes major depression goes hand in hand with suicidal thoughts or actions. Signing up for one-on-one counseling, participating in group sessions, or even opening up to trusted friends can help you move away from harmful thoughts. Fellas, comments?
I understand all that. I get it. I understand that because when you lose somebody, in our situation, our mother was taken away. There was a lot of anger. You know, I never had the amount of anger where I wanted to harm somebody. But you know, I'm different from other people as well. So I can get that. I can understand that. And obviously, harming yourself, that is definitely a sign that you need help.
Yep. Sheryl Sandberg. She released a new book, Option B, Facing Adversity, Building Resilience, and Finding Joy. It's basically very similar to what the main purpose of our foundation is, helping you overcome, helping you get re-inspired, and helping you deal with grief. She says in her book, Option B, a traumatic experience is a seismic event that shakes our belief in a just world, robbing us of the sense that life is controllable, predictable, and meaningful. And that's from the book. And first, I'm gonna talk about that, because that is something that I kind of can relate to. You know, when especially when mom passed, it was like my first test of, in a way, unfairness and unpredictability, and is this for real type of thing? Why? And you know, all those kind of feelings of feeling robbed, and basically what she's saying, that although the life isn't controllable, it's not predictable, and sometimes it can seem like it's unmeaningful. That was my first dosage of it, so I get that. She adds to say, but grief does not need to be experienced alone, and seeking help can help you move through your pain safely, healthfully, and without leaving your loved one behind. And that's something, as we've said several times already, even on today's show, is something we believe in. You don't have to be alone. You don't have to experience it alone. And you can use others and, you know, embrace others to help you overcome it. Where's the sign? Is there a fire? Is there a fire station nearby?
I don't know.
Well, hopefully everyone's okay. You guys have anything for the fourth sign, that you're thinking about harming yourself or someone else? Yeah. Any other contributions? No? Okay. So those are the four signs. If you want to chime in with your opinion of those four, if there's anything, if you feel you know a fifth sign or a sixth sign that you know should be included, let us know. You can call us at 323-203-0815, or you could tweet us at DDJ Foundation. Again, the four signs are: daily life has become a chore. Number two, you're relying on alcohol, drugs, or sex to cope. Number three, your feelings of guilt are relentless. And number four, you're thinking about harming yourself or someone else. Those are the four signs that you should get help for your grief. It's been posted on Twitter, so if you want to read the full article, go ahead and do so. And that was that article that I thought was pretty important to share. Yeah. Cheryl, you mentioned something before we started about explain it.
It was about loss, but it wasn't mainly losing a person. It was connecting, you know. The thing that triggered this sounds stupid now, but the thing that triggered this was my speaker broke. About a week ago.
In my studio.
Sub speaker broke. And I don't know what was wrong with it. It was just making a loud noise. And I, as I was taking it out, because I couldn't figure out what was going on in my studio, and it made a really, really loud noise, and it just wouldn't stop. So I finally figured out it was the speaker. So as I was taking it out of my studio, I saw myself, I started to feel bad for the speaker.
You started feeling.
I know it's like sounds crazy, but I just not for the speaker, but it just felt sad for me to have to remove it, because it's been part of. I've had it for a while.
Yeah,
I know it sounds stupid.
No,
but
no.
I had to remove it from my whole setup, and then I started thinking, you know, this might be it for this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like my options are to replace it or to have it fixed. And the funny thing is, it's like I'd rather fix it and keep it than to replace it. Partly because I've had it for so long, you know? So my thoughts are, it's like, why do we feel like that? And it's not just speakers. There's shoes, there's shirts, there's toys, there's all kinds of things.
You're basically saying,
why are we getting connected to certain things, and why is it hard to let go?
Even if they're not real things, they're not even breathing objects, you're getting connected to things that aren't
and it's
even
not just
real.
Me it's not just me, because remember, we were at the Boys and Girls Club and we were going around with Cameron, and we were talking about things that we've lost, and people were saying their uncle and their grandma, this and that, and we got around somebody, and you know, they said their goldfish, and then eventually I think someone said their shoes, right?
They were feeling grief from losing their shoes.
Well, something, remember, I think the question was something that you've, something very important and true, you know, that you've lost. And that really made you feel sad. So people giggled at that, but not that it's at the same, you know, level of losing somebody. But what is it that makes us hold on to things? And why do we hold on to them? And why can't we just disconnect or move on from it?
So I've never...
Because then it goes to, like, at what point is it hoarding?
Yeah, well...
Well, here's my question. Is the stuff that you're holding on to, is it a sentimental thing? Is it a memory thing in terms of someone gave it to you? Or you were there, you remember when you bought it, or you remember when it was given to you? And that, you know, because I think that all depends on it. There's certain things I've held on to because... I remember mom giving it to me or something like that or whatever. That's different than, you know, just buying something at a store or whatever for me.
So in order to have that, there's some connection. There's some sentimental connection.
Some emotion, I think, has to be there. Whether, because you mentioned, was it your car?
Yeah, my car.
But that might have been you were very excited the first time, and that emotion of that excitement. And now you were selling that excitement. Away.
But the strange thing about that is usually when you get rid of something, something's coming in to replace it. That's hopefully better, newer, whatever. But still, I feel bad for the old guy, the old thing.
That you do.
I don't know why I do that. Like my car, the car before I had this one, I felt really like the thing wasn't working, so it was time to let it go. But I just felt really bad.
Terrell.
Yeah,
you do.
I've done that.
So basically, you connect with objects.
Yeah, and it's very strange.
That is. Maybe you need a dog.
Is there anybody else like that out there?
Maybe you need a dog.
But I really do. I connect with stupid objects for it. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's not the object that I'm connecting it with. Maybe it's the what is it? What am I trying to say?
You have a hard time.
Maybe it's
stuff.
The thing.
No, Taj, but there's a difference. He has a connection.
Okay, for instance, the Studio Tech. Yeah. I still have the Digitech. What is it? The Digitech vocalist, Studio Vocalist.
Yeah,
but
it was $900.
But that was the one that we used for anything.
Yes,
but that's
yes.
Understandable.
So do
to
I
me.
Keep that?
Yes.
Is that okay?
I would never get rid of that.
Okay, I'm gonna elaborate.
Tita, you're not like that as much.
He's completely on the opposite side.
Just cut up.
No, I mean, I don't have an emotional connection to an object. I don't. I don't have. But I do have a problem holding on to things. So it's not like
you hold on to things?
I have stuff from as much stuff as I can, but I don't know if that's related to not having a lot of my stuff as a youngster.
Yeah,
it could be related to that. But I have stuff that, you know. Stuff that I'm not supposed to have if I didn't have. It's not an emotional connection. It's just a saving mentality. But I want to get back to it. We have a All phone right. call. So All who right. do we have on the line right now?
Hi, this is Ebony.
How are you, Ebony?
What's up, Ebony?
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
We are good. We are good. What do you got for us?
Well, I wanted to add something to the topic today.
Love it.
I know you already said the four steps. But that kind of had me thinking
okay.
about
we're just got,
you know,
we're
other possible ways.
Okay.
See, how should I put this? When someone, like, shuts themselves in.
So they... You're talking about the four signs people exhibit when they need to get help, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So one.
But I want to make it clear, like when going with grief, for certain people, they do have to, you know, have to separate themselves from others to, you know, clear their heads and everything, and that's clearly understandable. But what I'm referring to is when someone, basically, I'm talking like to the point of being a recluse.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, Taj is. You can't see him, but Taj has been nodding since you basically started. Because I think you add a fifth one that would be really strong, because you're 100% right. I think a lot of times when people are dealing with grief, they become somewhat like a recluse. They don't want to see people. They don't want to deal with people. They just want to stay in their small environment. That's what you're pretty much saying, right?
Yes, I am.
Cool. I think you're right on. Taj, you were going to say something.
No, I think that is right on, and I don't know the reason for that. I think sometimes probably people think either it's a really ugly period for them, and they don't want that to reflect on other people.
And Todd, you know what? A lot of times I think, I don't know if it's even that. I think it's something maybe going on subconsciously. I think it's a form of energy loss. You know what I mean? That's contributing to it. You know, they don't want to do anything. You know, maybe energy sapped.
Could be that as well. I think it might be a combo of it. Yeah, I don't know. It has something to do with the topic. When I'm not feeling good or whatever, I don't want to see people, like, because I feel like I'm just adding that negative energy to them.
Your mentality alone. Is you don't want to share. It's like a virus. You don't want to spread it.
Why am I spreading? You know, because it's like, not that I want people always to see the best of me, but at the same time, if you're just going to be that, it's a saying here, Debbie Downer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to make it sound like there's a Debbie or something, but it's like, if you're going to be that person just not giving good energy and just being angry or something like that, you don't need to be out there.
So you think it's more, when you get in that trap, you think it's more that for you? That you don't want to, see, because for me, it's just, I'm tired.
Yeah, because if you have those other, like, let's say you're exhibiting the anger, whatever, and all that, the other signs or whatever, if you're out in the public, and you're just being angry and mean to everyone. Yeah. That's not helpful either. I have a neighbor right now that's just angry.
Oh, yeah. He's horrible.
By the way, Ebony, you're still with us, right?
Yeah. Yes, I am, of course.
Tosh has the worst neighbor on the planet.
He's miserable.
Really bad.
He is a no joke, and this isn't exaggerated. He's definitely so the worst neighbor, I think, in California. I'm not. Wow. I would put him up against with anyone. Why wouldn't
grumpy.
I?
Yes.
He just yells at you if you walk near him.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just a bad day. That's him. It's to the point where you just smile and enjoy the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you enjoy it because you don't have to live next to it. You just drive by.
Oh, wow.
But he's something, Ebony.
But then I have another neighbor that's closest that counters that. Yeah, because she's delightful. They're delightful. So for me, he needs to stay indoors. Like, he doesn't need to be outside. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, him being outside... He's trying to ruin it for everyone else that's driving down the driveway up the driveway. So, I understand that. He needs to be indoors.
Yeah, but that's just a bad personality.
That's what I'm saying.
Ebony, thank you so much for the phone call. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Something. It's kind of off topic. I actually saw Wonder Woman yesterday.
Yeah.
And, TJ, you should have never fallen asleep during the ending. The ending was way too good to miss.
Ebony, I tried. I kid you not. I don't want people to think that I'm bringing a pillow and it's like I give a movie
might
a half.
Well.
Like, I give a movie a half a chance, and like, if it doesn't get me, I just say, okay, that's enough. I'm trying. I'm saving popcorn for the end of the show.
Are you tired when you go to the movies?
A little bit. I'm feeling a bit of it. Like,
what time was
I told
movie
Mike. I know. It was like 7.
7
I told Mike. I said, Mike, my attempt was to take a nap before to up my chances of... Because he asked
too
me.
Too long? Was it a long movie?
No, it was good.
What's wrong with you?
Mike asked me, he said, what's the chance? He just, hey, buddy, what's the chances of you falling asleep? I said, seriously, Mike, it's probably 50-50, but I'm hoping... No, I think I said it's 55-45, because I really want to see this movie, and I've heard it's good. But I told him how I was planning on taking a nap right before I didn't get to, so I'm a little concerned. And then after the movie, I had to tell him. But I'm going to see it again. Everyone said it's great.
Have to see the ending. Like, the ending is so good.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sure the movie theaters love you. You come twice.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Ebony, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thanks so much. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. And I think, great job, Ebony. And I think that just kind of, it's that isolation thing. I really think that's something that's subconsciously done. It's like a humanity thing.
Maybe they feel if they were to continue going out, you know, and living, that it's almost like, I think there's something where it's, you know, you lose somebody and you don't want to continue on. It's almost like you forgot them and like you're back to normal. You know?
Yeah, but
like you said, subconsciously.
Yeah, it's for me, it's kind of like think about it this way, Taj. When Happy, mm-hmm. when
Happy's,
Happy passed,
Happy's
Taj's dog,
the second Happy.
The second Happy. Yeah. Didn't Happy go under a bed?
Yeah.
So it's like they don't want. In a way, it's something similar to that. Maybe they don't want. Maybe it's part of what you're saying. They don't want to spread the sadness or be an issue for anyone else, so that they go into their own little recluse.
Which is, and the weird thing about Happy going under my mom's bed, you know, before she passed. No, he passed. Sorry. Was that's not a normal place where Happy would go. And that was the thing. It's not like Happy hid under my mom's bed every day or whatever. It was one of those things that it was very odd for Happy to go under there. So that was like the last place I looked because I couldn't find Happy. And so I think that's the scenario of it. Like, I don't know. I think just you, if you are sensitive to that, that's what happens, is that you try and keep your negative emotions or negative things away from other people because you know how sensitive they can be.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a good point. All right, we're going to take another phone call.
All right.
Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, it's Leslie. Can you hear me?
We can, Leslie.
If you can get closer to the mic or to the speaker.
Hi. Leslie, are you on speaker? Yeah, are you on speaker?
I have a headset on.
I'm psychic. I get closer to the mic.
It's all good, Leslie. What you got for us?
Okay, I just wanted to agree with Taj because I don't like to be around people either. And I kind of beat myself up when I'm having a bad day. And when I'm being, like, mean to people, I think, I take it out on people when I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I really beat myself up about it, and I pray that they forgive me for mm-hmm. the way I've acted. But I don't like, if I'm already upset and I'm at home, I don't want to go out because I know I can affect other people.
Wow.
And I can kind of take it out on them, and it's not their problem or fault. But I think a lot of people don't understand what you're going through, and it's don't take it personal. What I'm trying to tell, you know, you guys and the callers, don't always take it personal when you see people upset, because it might be something wrong with them or it might be something that they're going through. With me personally, it's something that I go through sometimes mm-hmm. when I'm upset, but I don't like to be around people, and I force myself to smile sometimes when I don't really want to smile,
mm-hmm.
but I try not to take it out on other people. But I always beat myself up later about it. So I hope they forgive me. Yeah. And if I see that person, if I have a, you know, run-in with somebody, I'll let them know. I said, don't take it personally. And I hug them. I said, don't pay no attention to me.
Yeah.
Don't pay any attention to me. Just don't pay no attention to me.
Yeah.
That's just my person. You know, it's just like something I'm going through internally. But if I'm already at home, like I said, if I know I'm going to have a bad day, I really don't want to be around people.
And Leslie, you're saying you don't want to be around people because you don't want to spread it to them. You don't want to, in a way, infect them.
Yeah.
See, that's.
I don't want to spread it to them. I don't want to spread my negativity to them because that's not their fault. And they might be going through a hard time or something happened in their life or at their home or something that I'm not aware of. And I'm, you know, having a fit or, you know, having a fit of anger or something around them, and they might be going through something worse than I am. So I think about that, you know, when I'm, you know, in the street or dealing with people. But people that know me, they know that I'm a good person. You know, I don't, you know, really mean anything I say. And I love you all.
We love you too, love Leslie. You too. And Leslie, you know what? Thank you for the call.
I have a question for Leslie. Leslie, when you act that way in public or whatever, do you realize it right then and there that you were like went over the line or a little mean, or is it later on that you reflect and go, oh, I was a little mean to that person?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you
talk. When you go out in public and you're not feeling like you want to be nice or whatever, do you realize it right away in terms of like, do you say, oh, do you catch yourself, or you, is it something that comes afterwards and you're like,
it right away? Like if I have if I get into it with someone, I think someone's trying to do something to me, or I realize it right away, and then right then and there, or in a few minutes, I'll apologize to that person.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times I will apologize to that person, and I'll hug them or something. I say, you know, don't pay any attention to me. And I'll even tell people, you know, what's happening to me. I'll say, you know, this happened to me. That's why I'm acting like that. Do not take it personally.
Oh, that's great. You know, so you catch yourself.
Say, I'll just right away. I'll tell them.
Yeah, and they're pretty understanding after that.
Oh yeah. They're pretty understanding. They said, I know. I realize it. It's like they have, you know, cause like people. It's the time that we're living in. It's like everybody has like something going wrong on, you know, mentally and spiritually with people. So I think a lot of people are just trying to do the best they can. They really don't, you know, they really don't take it to heart.
Yeah.
Like you really think. A lot of times I think, oh boy, they're not going to forgive me. You know, they're going to think I'm, you know, the B word or something, but I'm not.
Uh-huh.
And I, so that's why right away I try to apologize to people. And they're just so forgiving. You'd be really amazed how forgiving people are.
Absolutely. You know, Leslie, I have a quick question. Do you have any kids?
No.
Okay. Okay. And let me tell you why I'm asking that. Because I think I'm a pretty compassionate person. Actually, I'm going to say I'm a very compassionate person. But when Todd early in the show talked to me about how he doesn't like to go out when he's not feeling well or doesn't feel like it's going to be a good day because he doesn't want to spread it to others, I don't know about that. My brain doesn't think like that, you know? So hearing that about Todd, and then when you called and corroborated it and supported it, I'm trying to think, why don't I have that quality? Why don't I care about, it's not that I want anyone to have a bad day, but that doesn't cross my mind. And I'm wondering if it, Terrell, first of all, do you have that?
Yeah, I do that.
Sometimes you will stay inside because you're like, I don't want to spread this around.
Well, I think it's about being aware of your mood.
Yeah.
When you're in a bad mood, it's like...
But I get that. Do you really consciously say, I shouldn't go to the market because I'm a pissed off mood I'm just going to upset people?
No. Well, I still do what I need to do, but I don't engage with things. I stay to myself.
Correct. But you wouldn't put something off that could be put off because you're not feeling... You're not 100% and you don't want to, you know, bring that...
For me, it's like I'll know my situation. And because there's been times where I've been upset and heated. For instance, like if you're calling somebody about a problem.
Yeah.
Let's say, I don't know, we'll say a banking situation, whatever.
Yeah.
And you call someone and something happened that wasn't the person that's talking.
Yeah.
You're heated because you're going over it. But then I will tell them, you know, I'm sorry. I know it's not you. No, you know what I mean?
I get all that. But what Leslie and Taj do where they kind of stay in. I don't know that role.
Because you don't want to be around on the same level.
I think what it is that you just want to make anybody else day bad.
I get it.
Like you already feel bad, but you know what? You know your limitations.
You want to sit in your own funk.
If I'm faced with a certain situation, I'm going to go off on somebody.
I get it, and I respect it, and I wish I had that. But I'm just thinking, I've had kids so long that I don't have time. I got to get this and that done. So it's never crossed my mind.
You've always been like that. That's a big responsibility. You have children, of course, because you're busy with the kids and you're focused on them.
That's why
when you're single, when you don't have children, you know, other stuff comes into play and you're always thinking about your man is constantly churning because you're dealing with yourself. When you have children, that's a responsibility. So you're focusing on them and their needs.
Maybe.
But when you're by yourself, other things come into play.
Leslie, that's why I asked Terrell to see if I was the only one, because I've never done that. I don't think so. I don't think I've ever like stayed in a room or stayed home because I've stayed in because I wasn't feeling well or I got a headache. I get all that.
When you're sick, do you stay in?
Yeah, but I get it because
I suffer from depression. It's a mild depression. It's like I know my limitations. I know I'm not a people person. I really can't, especially like negative people, and they kind of. If someone ticks me off, I'm going to say something. When I see something wrong, I'm going to say something.
Gotcha.
When I see a wrong done in someone else, I'm going to say something. But I'm more introvert. And I think Todd's a little bit like that and maybe Terrell, but I'm an introvert person. I don't mix well with people too much.
No, you
know, because it just gets on my nerves, some things people do. So I try not to show it, but.
No, I love it. No, so Todd is very similar. You'd rather stay in that funk, right? Not spread it around. I get that.
No. The thing about you'll get out of the funk, it'll pass, but at that moment,
you don't want to spread it.
You don't want to be.
I respect that. I respect that, Leslie. I respect that. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I love you all. We love you too. Surreal. I hope you bring out some new stuff.
Thank you. It's coming.
Okay. And Todd, I just want to say you favor your dad so much. You look like your father. You're the fitting image of your father.
I love it. Wow.
Oh,
you.
My God. I love you. I love you all's music, too.
Thank you so much. We love you, too. You take care of yourself,
Don't ever think I don't love you. I love you all so much.
We love
your family and you all, too.
You're so sweet, Leslie. Take care of yourself, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye. Right. I love you all.
We love you, too. So sweet.
That's great. Yeah.
So cool, man. Taj, I don't see the resemblance of you and Pops. I'm sorry. But really? A lot of people say, you do, Joe?
I
don't see it either, but honestly, was it 2 days ago? I was at Coffee Bean.
Someone said it.
And someone walked by, someone that knew my dad, or knew Pops. Actually, someone that worked, a band member.
My dad and Pops.
Well, because some people might not know who Pops is, unfortunately. We might have some new listeners here.
Yeah.
But he was far away, and he said, Tito!
And then
as he walked closer, then he's like,
"I'm not believing that one.
I swear he did." And then he's like, "Hey,
what do you thought? Pops got a new hairstyle?"
I don't know what he thought.
All right, well, we're gonna. Hi, who do we have on the phone with us?
Hi, this is Ashley from Pennsylvania again.
How are you, Ashley? In Pennsylvania.
Good, good. How are you?
Good. What you got for us?
Well, I just have a little tidbit. When you mentioned about grief and depression,
yes.
I just wanted to talk about that most times, I know a lot of people, and I also have it as well, depression a lot of the times doesn't have anything to do with grief. Usually there's not even any reason for depression. It's just there.
Wow.
And there's no reason behind it.
Wow. Thank you for that. That's very interesting. It seems like there's a connection because it seems like the symptoms are very similar. But, you know.
Right. A lot of people with depression do have grief, but then there are some people who have depression who don't have any grief, and there's not even any reason to behind the depression that they have. It's just, they don't know why they're depressed. They just are, you know?
Got it. Cool.
Do you know people like that, Ashley?
My dad, I think I get it. I don't know if it's hereditary, but I kind of my dad has anxiety and depression and I do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it's hereditary, but it's kind of a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from your dad having it, did it make you more aware of it in terms of
definitely.
Having it? Yeah.
Yeah.
From seeing him. And from knowing that, are you seeking help, or what are you doing to remedy that in a way?
I used to be on medication for my anxiety and depression. I'm actually going back to the doctor soon to get back on it because I think I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that and just being around my friends and family actually helps me, and talking about it with my friends and family helps, so I do that as well.
That's good. Mm. That's good. So you're aware of it, which is a great
definitely.
Thing.
Definitely.
Yeah. Is there, when you say your friends and family, is that just because of the happiness factor of it, or what is it?
Yeah, they make me happy, and also they take time to listen mm-hmm. and just understand and try to comfort me when I'm anxious or depressed or something like that.
Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So support, basically, is what you're saying. They give you that support.
Definitely.
Wow. Well, that was interesting. Yeah, thank you, Ashley.
Thanks for calling.
Ashley,
you're welcome.
You're not the one with the birthday on Sunday, right? There's an Ashley with the birthday on Sunday.
Yes, that's me.
Oh, hey. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ashley.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you. I'll be 30.
Well, I remember those days.
You're complaining to the wrong people. Ashley, what else did you have for us? You said there's one more thing you wanted to say.
Oh, that was it. That was about my birthday.
Cool. Well, happy birthday.
All right.
Enjoy
happy birthday.
It.
Well, thank you, and I love you guys.
We love you too.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That is cool. All right, you guys, we have literally 30 seconds.
Real quick, do you guys remember when you were 30? No, but do you remember, like really remember, in terms of what you were doing around that time? Mm-hmm. Everything's lumped in for me. I think from 27 to where I'm at now, it's like one big blur of I don't know specifically what year I was doing what.
I take a lot of pictures, Taj, for that reason, because my memory's so bad. So I would, for me, if you said,
well, you have kids, so you know the milestone.
I would go to 2007 June on my iPhotos and see where my pictures are and relive it that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So and that's one reason why I always have the same cell email, because I want to be able, even on emails, I can go back that far and see what I was discussing and talking and. So that's how I relive it, sadly. But yeah, it's crazy. Time flies.
Yeah,
time flies. Wow. Actually, enjoy your life, because it goes fast, and take care of it, and don't sweat the small stuff. I really believe in that. Enjoy it. Grow as a person. Be a good person, and keep it moving. Don't let anyone bring you down. And this is the best time of your life, and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Anything else you guys want to say before we close today's show?
No. Went by fast.
Went by very fast, right?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, cool. If you are just discovering our show and want to learn more about it, please go to ddjf.org. We are here to hopefully re-inspire you, to help you find empowerment, to be basically to be right there with you in whatever you're going through. And that's the whole thing about DDJF. That's what we're here for, and we just want to do our part in making the world a better place. We hope you share about DDJF. We hope you keep contributing and keep believing in each other, right?
Yes.
That's pretty much it, you guys. So we are here every Wednesday from 1 to 2, and we will see you next Wednesday.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye-bye. All right, cool. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.